Hey, this is Steve, and this podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus in whatever you're going through today. Have you ever been in a situation where you know God has a specific plan for your life, but it seems that God keeps shutting doors, so progress seems to come to a stop? Man, I've been there, and my tendency is to bang my head against the closed door and try to force it open. It's frustrating, isn't it? But that isn't what God wants for you. So what do we do when these doors are constantly shut in front of us? Today, Pastor Jason Turner takes a look at the Apostle Paul, who had to learn how to deal when God shuts the door.
Raise your hand in here if you have ever felt like in your life that you've been going in the right direction, you feel like you've been doing what God wants you to do, and then everything falls apart. Yeah, for sure. I think we're kind of all in that same boat. Lot of speed bumps in this road of life. Lot of spots that God wants us to pause and kind of reflect on who he is, who we are, where we're going, and what he wants us to do. We were able to see that clearly in the life of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16. And I just want to dive in there for a little bit. And I think that as we look at God's word today, we're going to find a lot of encouragement for what happens when good plans in our life might go bad as well. So Acts chapter 16, let's look at the first five verses and see, take a peek in how God is working in Paul's life. All right, so Paul was one of the first missionaries. He was given the task to share the gospel with the Gentile people. Paul was a Jew. He got saved on the Damascus Road. God radically changed his life, and God gave him the commission to go and to share the gospel, just like he's given us that commission to go and share the gospel. Paul went first to Derbe, then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. Maddie quoted from 2 Timothy, the same Timothy that was one of Paul's right-hand guys. He really poured into Timothy. He was his mentor. They just had an amazing relationship, and God used their relationship to spread the gospel throughout the known world at that time. So Timothy, his mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was Greek. Timothy was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium. So Paul wanted him to join them on their journey. In deference to the Jews of the area, he arranged for Timothy to be circumcised before they left, for everyone knew that his father was a Greek. Then they went from town to town, instructing the believers to follow the decisions made by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in their faith and grew larger every day. So first five verses, we see that things are going pretty good, at least for everybody but Timothy. You see, Timothy was a young man at this time, and he had to be circumcised. And I mean, you guys kind of get the picture. That's not a. Okay, so things were going pretty good for the Apostle Paul and his crew before they came in. He was following what God had called him to do, and he was being obeyed. He was being obedient, and God was using him greatly. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. This is where God really hones in and tells Paul what his call on his life is. But the Lord said, go, for Saul, he was Saul before God changed his name to Paul, is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to king and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. So here's Paul. He's doing what God has told him to do. Things seem to be going well. He's traveling around. Churches are being strengthened. He's obeying people. He meets Timothy, and they're getting ready to set off. But sometimes good plans go bad, right? So the first thing that we need to do when good plans go bad, we need to remember, what are those things that God has called us to do? We see right here in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, what God called Paul to do. So we need to examine, when good things go bad, what God wants us to do. And this is really super practical, and I was so thankful that Bobby used this message to really speak into young people's life, and I think it'll help us all. But number one, God has called us to spend time in His Word daily. Spend time in His Word daily. Now, I asked the 8:30 crowd, and I got a kind of a sparse response from this. Raise your hand in here if spending time in God's Word daily comes easily to you. Okay, good. There's a few of us. Not myself, I'm kidding. But it's amazing. I gave a cottage cheese reference. That didn't go over too well this morning. Raise your hand in here if there was something that you thought was disgusting or you really didn't enjoy when you were a kid, but as you got older, you got a taste for it. Yeah, anybody like that? All right, who wants to volunteer something? Go ahead, Riley.
Shrimp.
You didn't really like shrimp when you were younger. I got a really funny story about my wife and the first time she ate shrimp. Okay, I got a few minutes. I'll share it with you. She had never eaten shrimp before, and she had it when she was in college for the first time. And when she was eating the shrimp, she forgot to peel it. And the chef asked her if she liked it. She said, "Well, it was okay. It was kind of crunchy." Okay, so shrimp. You didn't like shrimp when you were younger, but you've come to like shrimp. I know this is going to be a really bad analogy, but when we understand and we get into reading God's Word daily, we see how it really nourishes us. And it's something that we develop a taste for, I think. We are to desire God's word. Paul said, your laws are sweeter than honey. When we understand that God has given us his word for our improvement, our buildup, and our encouragement. So when good plans go bad, we see that we need to spend time in God's word daily. That's what he's called us to. Talk to wise people, something else. You know, I think we all know, raise your hand in here if you can think of somebody right off the top of your head who you feel has a lot of wisdom. A lot of wisdom. Yeah, that's a true, true gift. I think wisdom, I like to define wisdom is skill in living. Someone who really understands the depths of what it is to live well. I like to spend time with people who are wiser than I am. There's a great quote that was given this week, and it really kind of hit home with me and with our youth group, but you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Again, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. This saying, I'm sure you guys may have heard of it before, but you know, garbage in and garbage out. When you surround yourself with people whom you aspire to be, it'll rub off on you. When you spend time with people that are further ahead in the faith or just have characteristics that you desire to have in your life, you'll become more and more like them. The next thing that we can do to really be used and to really know what God has called us to do is discover your spiritual gift. Pastor Steve has been preaching on this for a while now, and it has been so, so helpful in our lives. And I think that there's no way for us to love God more than to find out what our gift is and to do it, to serve God by serving him through the way that he's gifted us. And a lot of times it takes a little while. We've had a spiritual gift test offered to us, and that's really, really helpful. But one thing, if I could just encourage you guys in this, and I tried to encourage our youth, just do something. Start somewhere. This is our serve season. We have an opportunity to help serve hungry kids up on Tower Road. We've got our 4th of July celebration coming up. Just start somewhere. You know, Jesus, God says that he who is faithful in the small things will be given larger things, but faithfulness is really, really important. So just start somewhere. Another thing that we can do and that God calls us to do is to allow our circumstances develop our character. To allow our circumstances to develop our character. I think oftentimes when we look around at our circumstances, we pray, what do we usually pray for? Do we pray for our circumstances to change? Do we pray for us to change? Or do we even pray at all? I think a lot of times, you guys can give some feedback. It's okay. I mean, I can handle it. I've been with 22 youth for a week. I can take it, okay? I think a lot of times, if we're really honest with ourselves, we pray, God, get me out of this. This isn't comfortable. God, if you loved me, you really wouldn't let this happen in my life, would you? But a lot of times, God wants to use the circumstances of our life and bring us through that. Because you'll never know, you never know what circumstance may be going on in your life right now that God is going to use to pour into somebody else later down the road. You know, the theme this week was turning storms into stories. And that's so beautiful. God has you all going through something now or in your past that he's going to use to encourage someone else in the future. So in order for us to know what we do when good plans go bad, we've got to allow our circumstances to develop our character. God's goal, you know, God loves his son so much that he wants each and every one of us, the whole planet, to become more and more like him. He wants me and you to become more and more like his son, Jesus Christ. When we obey, we become more like Jesus. Acts chapter 26, verses 17 and 18 say, "Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. They then will forget, then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me." This is the heart of what it means to become more and more like Jesus. Okay, so the first five verses, things are going thumbs up pretty well for Paul, right? Sometimes things can be going really good, and then we hit a roadblock. Something happens. Look with me at the end of Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and verse 7. "Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time." Verse 7, "Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there." What? How does that work? I thought that God had told Paul to share the gospel, to bring light, to bring the good news to Gentiles, to people like you and me. What's going on with that? You know, a lot of times, I think secondly, good plans go bad. Sometimes following God's will can be frustrating to our plans. You know, we think we're walking in obedience. And up to this point, Paul is walking in obedience. So when this happens, when we feel like we're living for God, we're following his will, we think that we're right in the zone, doing what he wants us to do, and we hit a roadblock, what do we usually do? Okay, so, question, answer, question. Okay, we pray, okay, we pray. How many, what's that, I'm sorry?
We think we may have missed it.
We think we may have missed it, yeah. A lot of times, we quit. We said, forget this. I thought I'm obeying. I thought I'm living for you. What in the world? But what did Paul do? This gives us a real good indication of how we should, what we should do when a situation like this happens. Look at verse 8 with me. Acts 16, verse 8. "So instead, they went on through Mysia into the seaport of Troas." Okay, so Finding Dory came out on Thursday, right? Yeah? Yeah, is he my, Friday? Thursday? Friday. Okay, so Paul kind of did like what Dory did in Finding Nemo. Come on, you guys know, what did she say? Oh, come on, more of you guys know what I'm talking about than that. Just keep swimming. He kept going on? He knew, Paul had confidence. He knew what God had called him to do, and he kept going. Guys, instead of giving up, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to keep going. We have to know and understand that when our good plans are frustrated, know that God's delays do not mean that he's disappointed. You know, oftentimes, you've heard the phrase, right? God sometimes closes a door but opens a window. We need to continue to develop what God has put in our lives. God is far more concerned with our obedience than our objectives. He's far more concerned with our character and our availability to serve than what we may necessarily want in our circumstances. So I got a picture of a microwave up here. How many of you guys love meals that come from the microwave? Crave them. Okay, cool. Now I've got another picture here of a slow cooker. Now think of a microwave and think of a slow cooker. A lot of times I think this is kind of a good analogy to look at our culture and the way that we feel sometimes. Because let's look at the picture of the microwave again. All right? You see all those buttons on the side? How many of you guys, your microwave at home has a quick minute button? That's one of my favorite buttons on my microwave. Okay, because I know if I keep pressing it long enough, then it'll do what I want it to do. And I think that's a lot of our reactions when we're in bad circumstances or when we get into trouble or when something we don't plan comes into our lives. God, I want out. I need the quick fix. I look around and people are saying, well, you know, isn't God answering your prayers? God, really, I want out right now. We live in an immediate gratification culture. So I drove the van for part of the time this week, and we had 12 people in the van, maybe 13 people, and everybody, when I look back, had a different device. And we're listening to their own music or just were into whatever they wanted to be into personally. But then think about the slow cooker. Think about what are some of the foods that you cook in a slow cooker? A roast, that's what I'm talking about. What's something else? Oh man, that is where it's at. And you know, a lot of times, God has the slow cooker mentality, I think. You know? Just look at the life of his son, Jesus Christ. Man, our suffering produces something in us that God's going to use for eternity in our lives, but more importantly, to give him glory through other people seeing what we're going through and standing up in obedience through him through that. Who prefers slow cooker meals to microwave meals? Of course, everybody does. And see, wise people, they get that. They've been through tough times. And it's through tough times that we really develop wisdom, skill in living well, wisdom. So we need to be able to sit and understand that sometimes God puts delays in our life, but that doesn't mean that we're being disobedient. Number three, I think during this time, we really need to cultivate faithfulness. Be faithful in those small things that God has called us to. Acts chapter 16, let's look at verses 8 through 10 real quick. God puts a roadblock here, but he opens another window, and this is beautiful. So they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. So Paul stayed faithful even through frustration. He hit a roadblock and couldn't go into Asia. He hit a roadblock again, and God directed him to Europe. See, guys, God is working through our circumstances. God is working through our circumstances. When we cultivate that faithfulness to His word, He will allow us to see future plans that He has for us. Guys, one of the big things that I think is that we get caught up in our culture is that we think life is all about us, and that the world revolves around us. I know that in just talking with my boys about their week back, we all have a tendency to focus on what happened to us. But we've got to realize that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, we who have a personal relationship with Jesus, you know, He paid a huge price for us. We were bought with a price, and we're told, therefore, to glorify God in your body, which is not yours. It's not mine. These lives we live for God's glory. And man, there is no other better way to live. So when we cultivate this faithfulness, God will allow us next to celebrate the fruit that comes from obeying Him. So again, we get to celebrate the fruit. Let's look at verses 11 through 15 real quick. And this is great. This is where Paul really starts to see some change happening. We boarded a boat at Troas and sailed straight across to the island of Samothrace. And the next day we landed at Neapolis. From there we reached Philippi. The book of Philippians, Paul writes to this church. This was one of Paul's favorite churches. We get to see here how that church began. A major city of that district of Macedonia and a Roman colony, and we stayed there for several days. Now, quick backstory here. What Paul would do most of the time as he went on his missionary journeys, and really that's what the second half of the book of Acts is. It's kind of like a travel journal for Paul. Dr. Luke went with him and just kept a journal about what was happening when they went from city to city. What Paul would normally do is that he would go into a city and he would go to the synagogue first, because Paul was Jewish and that was kind of the accepted culture at that time. In order for there to be a city at this cultural time, there had to be at least 10 Jewish men in that city. Okay, so Paul arrives in Philippi on the Sabbath. So that would be the day that the Jews would gather together at the synagogue, if there was one. We went a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we thought people would be meeting for prayer. And we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. Okay, so right off the bat, we see here that there are not 10 Jewish men in the city, or otherwise there would be a synagogue. So we learn from the Old Testament in the book of Ezekiel, and I'm a Bible nerd, so I thought this is really, really interesting. But people during the Babylonian captivity, Ezekiel wrote that they would go down to the river when they were in exile, and they would face toward Jerusalem to pray on the Sabbath. And Paul, knowing all of this, Paul knew the Old Testament better than all of us combined, probably. He knew what was going on, so that's where he went. He knew if there were people there who were worshiping God, then that's where they would be, just based on his knowledge of the culture. So they gathered. One of them was named Lydia of Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshiped God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. She and her household were baptized, and she asked us to be her guests. She was baptized. You see, that's a first step of obedience. She was baptized. We have that coming up next week. Paul here was not allowed to go into Asia, was directed down to another route, but Paul had the privilege of planting the first church on the continent of Europe. And as we look back through church history, we know how much God has done to shape the faith of the globe through the country of Europe. Guys, sometimes in our lives, we have to realize that God's no is part of a greater yes. You know, it's been really well said, I think, that God answers our prayers in three different ways. Yes, no, and wait. I think we tend to have a problem with those last two. But guys, because God puts delays in our lives, doesn't mean he disapproves of what we're doing. Sometimes God will say no because he's got a greater yes. One of the things that they do at Global Camp each year is they have a skit. They prepare a skit that they have their interns do, and it goes along with whatever the theme of the week is. And this year, their skit was based around a small town that had a huge storm that go through. And this is a small farming community, and their major crop was corn. Well, the mayor of the town thought that they should keep all the corn to themselves so they can take care of their people. But see, the storm had ravaged other surrounding communities too. So they had this this gentleman come in. His name was Ben, and he represented the Apostle Paul in the story. And he had an idea to create fuel with the corn that they had stored to make ethanol so that they could get their tractors running, they could get their combines, and it would give them the opportunity to take what they had and to go out and help surrounding communities. And it's such a great story of how what God did in Paul's life, he poured himself into Paul, and then he told him to go out and to spread that message. So one of the things we did during our conclusion is we had each of our students write down five names of people who they needed to share the gospel with or needed an encouragement from God. And they came forward and they got five kernels of corn. And when I think about these kernels of corn, I think about people that God wants to use in my life. People that God wants to use through you to share a word of encouragement or to share the gospel with. My prayer has been that as these were handed out, that our students will see God has a greater purpose for your life. God wants us to share the gospel when it's easy and when it's tough. You guys pray with me, please. Lord, today, you have given us a great opportunity to worship you. And Lord, there may be people here today and they have never had that opportunity. They've never taken the chance. They have never chosen to make you the Lord of their lives. And Lord, your scripture is clear that in and of ourselves, we are born and by our own choices, we are separate from you. But God so loved us, so loved the world that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life to die for us, to take the punishment that we deserve. Because you didn't send Jesus into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, might be rescued, redeemed, bought back to you. We were born separate. We were born wanting our way and not your way. Today, if you've realized that you want that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you want to be a part of the family, you want to experience the life change that God has made in the lives of these students this week, that God has made in our lives and God wants to make in your life, you can begin that personal relationship today through repentance and belief. The word repent just means to turn. Just pray, God, I realize that I have been out for my own ways. I realize that because of my disobedience, I deserve death. The wages of sin is death. But God, you sent your son Jesus to substitute, to take my punishment for me. And when he died, because of the perfect life he lived, you punished him for what I deserved. And God, I'm sorry. Jesus, thank you for what you've done for me. The best I know how right now, I want to follow you. I give you my life, Lord.